Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a new big party, man.
Yeah, brother, dig it. Stop right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Englund Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning, Sam. How are you?
Another day in paradise, Earl. You're at the show.
Yeah, you know, I want to welcome a very special guest. The Attorney General of the State of Wisconsin and the Department of Justice, none other than Mr. Josh Call. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for having me on the program.
Yeah, it is so good to have you back. It's been a long time. We've got a lot to talk about. I want to begin with guns and what the excitement that we are hearing about guns and the adjustments that the federal government, Congress, Senate are talking about. What is your take, sir, on the easy accessibility to guns?
Well, I think we need to make changes to our laws that make sure that when people are a danger to themselves or others, that our laws are preventing them from accessing firearms. You know, there are people, for example, who have committed of violent felonies. There are people who have family members who know that they present a danger. And making sure that our laws are protecting public safety here is really key from my perspective. So, you know, I would like to see some common sense things like expanding background checks to make sure that they apply to all firearm purchases, having the opportunity for judges to issue extreme risk protection orders if a family member or law enforcement provides evidence showing that somebody is a danger to themselves or others. But it's really good to see movement at the federal level on this. You know, it's not going to be everything that everybody's hoping for. It's certainly not doing everything I would like to see. But we've also seen gridlock on this issue for decades, really. And seeing Congress finally coming together in a bipartisan fashion to act, I think, is really encouraging.
You know, I live in the city of Milwaukee, and it is one thing to see this happen. We don't know exactly what it's going to be right now, but some movement, some action. And yes, it is horrible whenever there is mass murder, no question whatsoever. But when you live in a city, urban city like I do, and you watch just hundreds of people being slaughtered on the streets, you know, every year, and with handguns, and we don't hear any pushback on that. You know, we know that ghost guns are prevalent in our society. We know that people can purchase these things, and it's legal. Those things don't make sense to me, Attorney General Call. How come that can happen in our society and we can't prevent that?
Yeah, well, first, I agree with you. It doesn't make sense. And I think Mayor Johnson used the phrase, it's a slow motion mass murder. And whether it is a mass shooting or a series of, you know, individual shootings, we've got to take action to make our communities safer. And as you said, we've got some real loopholes right now. If you're going to a federally licensed firearms dealer and you go to buy a gun and you're a convicted felon, there's a background check that's conducted and you'd be rejected from buying that firearm. But if you buy it from a private seller online, the background check doesn't happen. And so people who are not legally permitted to possess firearms can do that. Ghost guns is another good example where, you know, there's no background check process. Now that is changing for the better because the ATF has issued some rules, but under state law, we still haven't taken action. You know, the other thing that I think is really important here, in addition to working to pass common sense gun safety measures is investing in our communities. For decades, really, our state legislature has chosen not to invest in communities across the state of Wisconsin. And that's having real impacts, and it's had impacts for a while. We need to keep pressure on our legislature to act. It's really tough because we've got this gerrymandered legislature. But the more that we can keep contacting folks, the more likely it is we're going to see something happen. And we're starting to see that now in the U.S. Senate. You know, this isn't just happening. It's happening because people are speaking up and they're demanding that their senators take action.
Attorney Call, it's when you look at the sheer numbers in this nation, the majority of the people don't own guns. Even though there is a Second Amendment right to own guns, the majority of us don't own them. We're not opposed to people owning them, but why is it that in this instance, the minority seems to have so much power that they control what the majority doesn't want to see happen?
You know, Earl, I don't know what the exact statistics are. There are a lot of people in the United States who are gun owners. And as you said, that's something that so not only do I respect, but we have a constitutionally protected right that protects the Second Amendment. And what I think is so interesting is gun owners overwhelmingly support some of these common sense measures. So it's not about gun owners versus non-gun owners, really. It's about this very extreme group that, you know, the NRA and the gun lobby that is pushing back against some common sense measures. And just as an example, we conduct at the Wisconsin Department of Justice numerous background checks when firearms are purchased. And that doesn't infringe on anybody's Second Amendment rights. And yet we haven't been able to expand background checks because the gun lobby is pushing back against that and Republican legislators refuse to act. So, you know, ultimately, we've got to keep pressure on those legislators to take action.
You know, and then we'll move on. But I have to say, because I am aware that the gun show loophole that everybody talks about, where, you know, when you're going to buy this new gun from a licensed dealer, the background checks and the waiting period and all those things have to happen. But then after I do that, and I own the gun, I can take it and sell it to anybody without any background checks. And that is how so many guns get into the hands of children in central cities across this nation. And so it can't be acceptable that the NRA and you know, the lobbyists should somehow have more power than life and death in communities in this country. And that's at the root of most of these issues.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, we've got to have leaders who are willing to stand up to special interest groups, whether it's the NRA or anybody else. You know, back in November, I announced a plan called Safer Wisconsin, and it lays out a number of proposed changes. And that includes common sense gun safety measures, like addressing ghost guns and expanding background checks. And it also includes some significant proposed investments in public safety so that we can work to address the challenges that communities are facing. But again, what we need is for people to be engaged, to contact their legislators, and to say that, you know, enough is enough. We're not going to let the gun lobby prevent action on these issues anymore.
All right. Let's move to abortion. And right now, there is a fear, and rightfully so, that the abortion bans, that abortion is going to become a thing of the past. What are you thinking? What is your take?
Right now, the U.S. Supreme Court is considering a case where the state of Mississippi has asked for the court to overturn Roe versus Wade. And all indications are that that's exactly what's going to happen. That, you know, as you know, there was a draft decision that was leaked that would overturn Roe, and the Supreme Court has indicated that's a real opinion. It is what people said it was. And certainly based on the way that the argument went and what we know about the current composition of the Supreme Court, I think that is likely going to be what we ultimately see, which is Roe is overturned. And if that happens, a federal constitutional protection that has been in place for two generations is going to go away. And then the debate will go from the courts to Congress, which doesn't seem to be able to act on this issue. That there's been legislation considered, but it hasn't been passed. And then to the states. Now, here in Wisconsin, we have a law in the books that goes back to the 19th century that bans most abortions, provides criminal penalties with some very narrow exceptions. There's an exception to save the life of the mother, and then under the ban, the mother can't be prosecuted. And if you think about what that means, other than abortions to save the life of the mother, the only abortions that would be legal in Wisconsin would be self-administered abortions. That is dangerous. It's backwards. Now, whether that law would go into effect if Roe is overturned is going to be, I think, the subject of significant litigation. There are arguments to be made that ban shouldn't spring back into place. But while that litigation is happening, access to safe and legal abortion in Wisconsin is going to disappear. And it could be that the courts find that ban applies. And if it does, women in Wisconsin are going to be facing a very different landscape for reproductive freedom than we're used to for the last almost 50 years. And I really want to stress that what we know from prior to Roe is that making abortion illegal doesn't end abortion. What it does is it ends safe abortion. And so if this happens, the health of women in Wisconsin is going to be endangered. And it's very likely that unfortunately women are going to lose their lives because of this ban. So I'm hopeful our legislature will take action. We'll see what happens in the courts, but it's a dangerous time for reproductive freedom.
You know, Attorney General Call, what is so frustrating to me is to hear people on the right, including some Supreme Court justices, say 50 years ago, the justices made a mistake. And just totally wiping out their thought processes back then and why they thought women should have freedom in this nation over their own bodies. But to say now we have the right answer and so we don't care what the justices said 50 years ago, they were wrong, we're right. How does that sit with you?
You know, I strongly disagree with the possibility that Roe would be overturned. And I think, you know, the point you're getting at is that we need to make sure that whether it's judges or justices or anybody else in the system is making decisions, we've got to have some humility about what we're looking at here. I mean, in this case, we've got, again, almost 50 years of precedent that many Supreme Court justices have, you know, involving a right that many Supreme Court justices have found. All of a sudden, overturning that precedent is a huge, huge change, and it's something that courts should be very thoughtful about before moving forward with. And it's also going to put us in a position where all of a sudden we're being put back into we're having laws put back in place from decades ago. You know, we haven't had legislative debate on the issue of access to safe and legal abortion over the last 50 years in the way that we would have if Roe hadn't been there. And so this is a significant change for our society that we may be heading towards, not because the voters have chosen that, but because of the decisions of a few people. Now, the governor called the special session to repeal the old 19th century abortion ban. And I think that Republican legislators owe it to the people of Wisconsin, you know, to step up and to debate this issue and to be clear about where they stand on this. If we're going to have this kind of major change in society, our legislators owe it to Wisconsinites to be clear about where they stand, to debate the issues, and to make sure that the public has some input.
You know, what bothers me the most is those on the right who want to pick and choose what freedoms are. They constantly talk about, you know, nobody infringing upon our rights when it comes to wearing masks and their children wearing masks during an epidemic. But in something as critically serious as whether or not a woman has freedom over her own body, now it's they want the government to step in. I mean, which is it?